Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. Lucy, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you? Good. Thank you for taking my call.
And thanks for making the call. But it is a very difficult call to make and you are looking for help. What has happened, Lucy?
I'll tell you now, Joe. It's actually a cry from my heart, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. My son Thomas is 17 years old and has asked me yesterday, "Ma'am, please, will you get me help? I am active suicidal and I don't want to live anymore." Now, Joe, when I heard my son saying that, I jumped and I said, okay. So I said my first protocol was ring Pieta House. And I did. And they told me in Pieta House, if he's feeling suicidal, then he needs to go to the crisis team in the hospital.
Okay.
I said, okay. So I rang the hospital and they told me that he's a minor, contact CAMHS.
The Child and Adult Mental Health Service.
Yes, Joe. Yeah. So I contacted CAMHS and I told them. They told me I need a referral letter. And I said, a referral letter, I said, my son is telling me, I said, he's suicidal, I said. And you're asking me for a referral letter? She said, that's the way it's done. Okay. I got on to my doctor, Joe. Okay. And I was told by my doctor, he said, I will be finishing in 20 minutes. This is what he said. I will be finishing in 20 minutes, he said. So it's €30 for me to write a referral letter. And I said, I won't say the name. I said, doctor, I said, oh, that's fine. I said, you will have your money. I said, don't worry about that. I said, my son is suicidal. I said, and I need help now. So he said, okay, I will write the referral letter and I will fax it to CAMHS.
Okay.
So that was grand. I got a phone call then, Joe, to tell me that the letter was gone over to CAMHS by the secretary and asked me would I like to pay the €30 over the phone. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I wouldn't, I said, but I said he will have it in the morning.
Okay.
So then I continued and I rang back CAMHS and I told them the letter was gone over, the referral. They told me that they didn't get it. I said, will you check again? I said that the doctor has told me that he has sent it over and now he's gone. This was 12:30. It's a half day. So she said, okay. Oh, she said, yes, we have it. I said, fine. Mm. I said, when will my child be seen? She said, I don't know now. They'll probably get back to you. I said, listen, I said, my son is suicidal, I said, do you want, I said, for me to ring you and tell you my son is dead? I said, my son is telling me, ma'am, I'm going to take an overdose, I want to go into the river, I feel dead, I just want to end it all, I don't want to live. And I said, Thomas, I said, you've your whole life ahead of you. Ma'am, he said, you don't understand, he said. He said, I'm just dead inside, he said, and I want to end my life. So with that, anyway, Joe, I rang him back and I just said, look, I have to be seen today. So they said, okay, come in at 3:00, which I did. They brought him into a room, two people, one lady, one gent, and they kept him in there for about an hour and I was outside, Joe. And I'll be honest, Joe, I was praying. I said, please, Our Lady, I said, help me. I said, you know, I said, I have to get help because I can't do it on my own, you know.
Okay.
So anyway, that was grand. So about an hour passed, Joe, and I was brought into a room. And there was two people sitting down with Thomas and next thing anyway, they said, well, we had a good long chat. Now, we can't solve everything today. And I said, okay. So they said, we're going to put a little kind of thing in place now for him.
A program in place.
And on the program was to walk 3 times a day. And if we had a dog, maybe take the dog for a walk, but to walk 3 times a day and drink plenty of water.
Mm-hmm.
And then she turned around and she said, do you think now you'll be safe? She said, till next Wednesday till I see you again, because I can't see you till then. And maybe if you join the Red Cross in the meantime. And I'm kind of looking at her, and he turned around, Joe, and he said, I don't know, will I be safe, he said. Mm-hmm. Because he said, I just don't want to live. And then he just said to me, like when we left, he just said, ma'am, he said, that was a waste of time. And I said, yes, it was. And when we got back into the car, Joe, he looked at me and he said, ma'am, I have to go somewhere, he said, a place where they can help me, he said. Right. Please, he said, put me in somewhere, he said, the way I can get help. Now, Thomas, Joe, I'll be honest with you, he's a lovely, gentle, quiet boy. Mm-hmm. But all he feels is empty, broken. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, Joe, as a mother, my heart is broken. And I feel so helpless. So I said, what I'm doing today, Joe, is I'm making a plea with somebody. Please, please help save my son.
And you just, you want to, in fairness, you have tried Pieta House and they have told you, the local crisis team, you went to them, they said go to CAMHS, you went to your GP, you got into CAMHS, you had a session. Has he been with CAMHS before, Lucy? And by the way, these are not the real names, but have you been with CAMHS before, Lucy?
Joe, he was with CAMHS before, and okay. I'll be honest with you now, they put him on medication right before, and he actually said he felt numb. So he said, ma'am, I'm not taking it. He said, I'm numb, he said. So I said, okay. So then they discharged him. They said he didn't need it anymore. He just needed structure. He needed to get up in the morning. He needed to get to school. He needed this, he needed that. But as Thomas said to me, do they realise I'm mentally sick, he said. It's not just something that I get up tomorrow and I'll say, oh, I feel really good. He said, I'm mentally sick. He said, I need someone to help me. And Joe, when he said that to me, I rang yesterday the radio because I thought it's either Joe Duffy or Ryan Tubridy. I said, I have to be heard because, Joe, I do the darkness into light walk right now. I haven't had experienced myself of anybody, but with Thomas being like that, I would do that. But, you know, I said to myself yesterday, Joe, how many of those young people would have even opened up and probably, like my son, not got the help, Joe. And that's why their parents or their brothers or their sisters are doing that walk.
Lucy, you sound as if yourself and Thomas, in a lovely way, are very close. Would that be...
Oh, we're very close,
good,
Joe.
Yeah, good.
Very close. Like,
he tells you a lot. It's wonderful that he was able to confide in you that way. Even though it's an awful thing for a parent to hear.
He did, Joe, because I think he was at his last resort. Mm. And there again, Joe, I'll be honest with you. I feel in my heart now, and I'm actually crying even at the moment. I feel in my heart, is he preparing me that he's going to do this?
No,
because
he keeps saying,
I can't live, ma'am. I don't want to live.
And it's great, and we want him until you get help from, we want him to keep saying that. We don't want him going quiet on us or you.
Yeah.
We want you to, and you sound as if you're a fantastic communicator and have a fantastic relationship with Thomas, but again, that's not his real name. Who else is in family, Lucy?
There's two other boys and a sister. Yeah. But like that though, Joe, they would be close, but they don't understand because they don't suffer with depression.
Yeah, of course, it's a terrible
And
illness.
You know, they're saying like, you know what, come on, like, you know, you have to kind of get on with it. But he's going, Mammy, I can't.
Yeah. And remember, depression is one of the most devious illnesses. If you break your arm, you know to go to a hospital and try and get it fixed. But depression tells you, you can't do anything about me. I'm sorry. You can't, nothing will, it's a devious illness. It really is. Lucy, what other infrastructure does Thomas have? Is he in his life? Is he in school or involved?
Okay. He's in school, yeah. And now he wouldn't have a lot of friends, Joe, because he's a very quiet boy.
Yeah, that's...
So he wouldn't have a lot of friends. Now, there had been a bit of bullying there before as well. But he's okay, you know, like in that line. But, Joe, I suppose where I'm coming from myself is I'm thinking that, you know, there's so much out there about mental health and there's so much saying, come on, talk about it. Let's, you know. But, Joe, really, as a mother, like, I felt so isolated. Like, you know, I just felt that where's the help that everybody is talking about? Mm-hmm. There's no help, Joe.
And do the school?
There's no place.
And we've heard that before in terms of, especially for that age group. In the school, did the school know about his difficulties at the moment?
Well, he's been on midterm now, so I haven't really informed him. But, but I will on Monday. But it's just if I can't even take a day.
I'm only taking
a minute.
Yeah.
And when I go in home, the first thing I do is call him because I'm afraid. And I just think that I'm not saying like to the government or anything, like there should be loads of places for this age group. But what I am saying is there should be something that you, because when you're depressed, you're right, the last thing on your mind is, oh, I have to get a referral letter from the doctor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so I'm thinking like if these young people have to do all this themselves, then it's nearly easier to take the box of pills.
And is he okay about staying in the house? He's not saying I want to leave. Is he okay about going back to school on Monday? Is he?
He's okay about going back to school.
Good.
But he said to me, like, now that's if he makes it. He said to me, he said because
he will
said,
make it.
Man,
he will make
he said
it.
Even today, he said I'm suicidal, man. And I just said, like, you know, there has to be somewhere. Like, and actually, my daughter now would be in her 30s. And she said to me, my God, she said, I never realized, she said, how hard it is for to get help. She said, I can't believe it. She said, they're putting you here, there, and there's nobody. And actually, I got so annoyed yesterday now. And I wouldn't be kind of a strong person in the line if I wouldn't be shouting. But I just said to the girl, I said, I need help now.
And what did she say? How did she react?
Well, she kind of just said, well, I'm trying to make head nor tail to this letter that the referral the doctor sent in. I said, forget about the referral, I said. My child is suicidal, I said. You know, Joe, and I'll be honest, Joe, I'm talking to you today.
We need to, and you're doing your absolute utmost, Lucy, don't be under any doubt to actually engage with the services or whatever is available. You couldn't be doing anything more, I think, at this stage. But maybe you need to talk to somebody in terms of maybe who's been through this and to get some guidance or even off air. We'll try and get someone to talk to you off air to try and talk to you.
It would be brilliant.
But it's wonderful, first of all, and it's an unusual word to use and for you to hear in these circumstances. It's very good that he's talking to you. He's very good that he can confide in his mother. It's very good that you're such a straight talker and seem to have such insight into his pain at the moment. That's all really, really positive. Really positive. And in one sense, Lucy, you're saying what you're doing is you are being his counsellor at the moment. You are his lifeline at the moment. And when he's with his mammy, when he's with you, he's going to look after himself and he's going to look after you. You're going to look after him. Now, the Samaritans, as you know, and I just want to give the number of the Samaritans is 116123, 116123, and that's 24/7/365. Already we have an offer from a counsellor who's willing to talk to you, but indeed both of you, off air in the next few minutes. We'll talk to you. But let me take this quick break. Are you there in the house on your own, Lucy?
I have someone,
okay. And if you wanted to take a minute and grab a quick cup of tea or glass
of
water.
No, thank you, Joe.
Okay.
I'll wait for
stay
you.
There.
Thank
okay,
you.
I'll wait for you. Don't worry. We wait. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we're talking to Lucy, who indeed contacted us yesterday, not her real name or any names in this discussion. Yesterday, before the programme, very worried about her son, too distressed. She was doing her absolute utmost, Pieta House, hospital, the GP, CAMS, got an appointment, got him a session yesterday for an hour with the two counsellors, but he's still feeling that he wishes to self-harm, but above all, he wishes to get help. He wishes to get help. So that's the critical question and the plea from Lucy. Brian, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. Can you offer any, even from your own pain and distress, any help to Lucy and her son?
Well, I don't think I have a solution for her, Joe, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I was listening, Lucy, I was listening to your story
Thank you.
And it's heartbreaking. I lost my own son 2 years ago.
Right.
In September, it was his birthday on Sunday there. He'd have been 28. And, you know, the tragedy of the situation. And Lucy, I'm sorry to have to, you know, talk about this, but it's very, you've raised a very important public debate. People need to be talking about this stuff. It really is a shame that there are so many young people saying what your son is saying, and there are simply no services. So the people trying to deal with it, psychiatrists, doctors, mm-hmm. etc., they're working under a Mental Health Act that says that there can be voluntary or involuntary committal if the person is an immediate risk to themselves or others. That's the definition under the Mental Health Act. That was the definition that was being thrown to me in relation to my son, even after he'd made a failed attempt to kill himself. And for some reason, that plea of your son, that situation my son was in, was not enough to determine that they could get access to proper psychiatric services. And I'm not pointing the finger at the doctors and the psychiatrists. They know that people meet this definition, but there are just no services. There are not enough psychiatric beds. There are not enough psychiatric care arrangements, either as day patients or inpatients, and that's the horror of it. And I'm not gonna go through the whole story, Joe.
I'm very conscious, Brian, and condolences on the death of your young son. But he was 25, so he was 25. He's classified as an adult, isn't that correct? He from 18 or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, he was an adult. No, he was a vulnerable adult, and yeah. He had drug problems, and he'd been in prison, and this happened after he came out of prison. But you know, it was an issue that was happening from he was 16, 17 years of age.
Okay.
You know, there were days that I pleaded in tears, with psychiatrists when he had been admitted as a result of hospitalization throughout self-harm or other things, pleaded with them to keep him in, and they said he didn't meet the definition under the Mental Health Act. And that's the result of it. The result of it is I've lost my son.
Yeah.
And by the way, can I just say,
yes, Brian.
PFF House are an extraordinary organization.
Yeah, yeah.
My son didn't go to PFF House because he was engaging with psychiatric services in a different way at that stage. But both my wife and I, and I know she won't mind me saying it, both my wife and I have been to PFF House since our son's death. And they are an extraordinary organization. But again, they're under-resourced, Joe. And I used to go up for my counseling after I lost my son every Tuesday, and the place was full. And it was full of young people who were, you know, in difficult situations, pleading for help. And Theatre House is one of the few organizations that's doing that. And they give their services for free. And we need to support them. But it is a shame. It is a shame that we're losing. We've one of the highest suicide rates for young people in Europe, and there are interventions that work in other countries that are just not being applied here, and I think the system is not fit for purpose, but the resources just are not there, the facilities just are not there, and this is the price we're paying. Lucy, I'm sorry I don't have a better answer for you, darling. I would do anything to tell you that there's an immediate answer. But what I would urge you to do is to get your son, if he's willing. I mean, it sounds like your son's willing to talk about this.
Yeah.
Get him to see a psychiatrist, and plead with them. Plead with them to get the services your son requires. And you know, I've dealt with a number of the psychiatrists. Some of them are very good. Some of them are not so good. But even the good ones, are caught in this situation where there are no services. And I've been thinking for 2 years, Joe, what I can do about this.
Okay.
And I'm completely lost because the lack of services, the lack of any understanding of this issue within government. I never hear Simon Harris talk about this subject with any compassion or any sense that it has to
be. Brian, you do see a positive in the fact that Lucy's son is talking to her and is willing to go back to school. He says he is willing to go back to school. Now, I know he says, if I make it till Monday. I know he puts in those caveats. But the fact that he's talking so openly to his mother, that's a small positive, isn't it?
It's absolutely. It's huge. Because I'm sure there are hundreds of parents listening to this today, thinking back on their situation and saying, I wish I'd known at the time. At least you know Lucy, and you know, as Joe said just before I came on, as Joe said, it's wonderful that you seem to have such an open and warm rapport with them, and that will be the difference for your son, I've no doubt, knowing that his mother loves him, knowing that his mother cares for him, knowing that his mother is doing this today, because you know, feeling loved and feeling wanted is such an important part of this. So you're doing absolutely the right thing, but fight for services for yourself.
I am. I'm nearly weary from fighting.
Bring them to Theatre House. They're a superb organisation. But, you know, they can't see everybody immediately. They're strapped for cash. Tell your listeners, you know, if they see any fundraising for Theatre House, give money to this organisation because it does an extraordinary job and it's one of the few supports out there, Joe. So, Lucy, I really wish I had...
No, you've said an awful lot there, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
I thank you for having the energy and the unfortunately born out of a very, very, very... dark experience with your boy, but I thank you that you are propelling your energy forward and we're such a strong voice here on the programme today, and I condolences. I think you mentioned he was 25, so he would have been 27, 28.
Well, he was just before his 25th birthday, so he'd have been 28 on Sunday, and we spent the day together as a family, as we always do. But Joe, can I tell you, let me just add one small thing. The importance of people talking about this stuff. You know, why am I talking about this on your show? Mm-hmm. We made a decision the day we lost our son that we were going to be completely honest with everybody.
Okay.
We talked about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We talked about it at the funeral, and we hide too much in Ireland. And it is vital that parents and siblings and uncles and aunts talk about this stuff, because it makes us all aware of it, and it makes us all more demanding of it when we're talking to our counsellors or when we're talking to our TDs or when we get a chance to talk to ministers. This is a national tragedy, and it's a hidden national tragedy. It's not part of the public discourse at the minute. And that's very frustrating. So congratulations, Lucy, on being open about this. And I hope that all the other parents listening do the same.
Okay.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian, go safely, and thanks indeed. And remembering your beautiful son and his beautiful family last Sunday, especially on his 28th birthday. That's Brian Montague.
All my love, Lucy.
Thank you, Brian. God bless you.
Anthony Richardson. Thanks, Brian. Anthony Richardson is in... Dublin. Anthony, you've been listening to Lucy and indeed Brian.
I was listening to Lucy as I was travelling along in the car, and I've recently lost my son in the last 2 weeks. And I agree with everything Lucy's saying about the support and the help. There is none. We've been trying for years and years. Any help we had for our son, we had to do ourselves. I had to send him abroad. I sent him to a clinic in Portugal for a month. Mm-hmm. And when he came back, he felt a lot better. But there was nothing here when he came back. I couldn't keep him in a clinic in Portugal.
Nice.
But just another thing, Joe, I don't wish to alarm anyone here, but my son had the same relationship with my wife, very, very close. He had attempted something similar before, within the last year. And then he promised his mum, I would never do that, mum. Yeah. I'd never do that to you. But
and can I ask,
if somebody tells you that, don't necessarily take that for granted.
Yeah, it's a cry for help.
You know? So that's just one. I don't wish to alarm anyone.
No. What age was your son, Anthony, can I ask?
My son died 2 weeks ago, and he would have been 33 yesterday.
I said
I'm not political in any way. I just go along. do my work, look after my family, like the majority of people. But I said to my wife after this, I said, I feel strong. I feel strongly about this, that I should go and approach my local TD. I don't even know where they are or who they are, because I've never been involved in that, but I felt strongly enough to even do something like that. Can I just give you another something? On the day we had to go to the mortuary that afternoon, and one of the people working in the mortuary, I think it was a social worker, came out, and she was talking to us, and she said that they get all sorts of bodies in the mortuary. She said, we get a lot of car crashes, car accidents.
Yeah.
She said, lately, over the last number of years, suicide has creeped up and it's nearly overtaking car accidents. Her point was, the amount of money being pumped into road safety, which is extremely important, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
And compared to the amount of money put into mental health, which is, I agree with that last gentleman, is an epidemic in this country. I know from speaking to all my son's friends, a lot of them are suffering.
Yeah.
A lot of them are getting help, looking for help.
And Anthony, when you mentioned that your wife covered the country, or she did what Lucy was doing. When did your son initially present with these difficulties, Lucy?
My son, like, to go back a long way, my son was abused when he was a young teenager. We didn't actually know about it. We only found out a year or two after it had happened. And I don't know if he had mental health problems beforehand. He was so young. But after that, everything just went downhill. That was from the time he was about 14, 15. And then progressively over the last 2 to 3 years, it just got worse and worse.
And in that,
he would sit with his mum, hold his hands out in front of her and say, Mum, I am in so much pain. He said, I don't want to be here. Now, that's a horrible thing for a mother to have to listen to. But we couldn't get help. We went everywhere.
And in the 18 years
since
it emerged, these issues, was there any period where he had help that led to remission? Or?
Well, when he came back from Portugal, you see, my son, like, turned to addiction, drugs and drink. And obviously just to escape the situation that he was in, trying to mask it, like. But when he came back from Portugal, he wrote an awful lot down, which we're finding now.
Yeah.
And he said that he actually felt good after Portugal because he had just been out there for a complete month with, like, just getting the full attention that he needed. But that couldn't go on forever. Like, there's a cost involved for that.
Of course. And even Anthony, that act of writing, did he benefit from that? That he actually had the energy and the purpose and the focus to sit down?
I think he just wanted to get out. Like that other lady said, I think it's Lucy, is it?
Yeah,
like
Lucy.
She had a great rapport with her son. My wife had so much contact with him. They spoke openly and freely, absolutely, about everything.
Brilliant. Okay, but still.
But it's without the help, Joe, and unless there's like huge improvements made here, I've lost my son 2 weeks ago. It was his birthday yesterday. I don't need to go on the radio. I'm making a huge effort here just to highlight what's happening in this end of things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And of all the things that you've thought about, especially in the last 2 weeks, maybe this is too difficult a question, Anthony, and of all the things that have been said to you, has anything resonated? Has anything given you comfort or succour in the last? I know it's very, very early and it's very, very raw. And we'll go on.
It's probably very raw at the moment. It has. The amount of people that I speak to that have had a similar experience or are going through a similar experience. So it's not like we were the only people that have been through this. But at the same time, I'm kind of amazed by the amount of people that do that. the amount of people that are in that same situation. You know, people say there's help, and as Lucy said, where is the help? Yeah. Well, we never found it. He was in John of God's for a week last year, came out, but that was it. That's all we can do for him. Nothing left. Start again.
Well, as you say, your situation at the moment doesn't allow you to hear this, Anthony, but it sounds like yourself and your wife did an awful lot for your boy over the last 15 years.
I can honestly say my wife would have gone to the end of the earth if she thought it would have. If she thought she could have gotten the help for it. She did absolutely everything, more so than me, because she was there hands-on all the time. I'd be out working. And
sorry, Joe.
Yes, Lucy.
Would it be okay there just to say something to that gentleman?
Yeah, to Anthony, yeah, if you wish.
Anthony, I'll be honest, I'm just listening there to you now.
Yes.
And I just feel that your son should be here today.
Yes.
When he came back from Portugal, there should have been something in place for him in Ireland to continue, but there is nothing here. This is where I'm coming from too, Anthony. And I know in my heart, if I don't get help, I will be ringing the show and I will be where you are.
Well, I sincerely hope not, and that's why I'm ringing. Yeah. Because I sincerely hope you don't. And
thank
I hope
you, Anthony.
You do get the help.
Well, I will cry out and I will knock at every door and I don't care who helps me, but somebody has to help me.
I hope you do. I pray that
thank
you do.
Thank you, Anthony. Okay. And I will say a prayer for you too, Anthony, and your family.
And Anthony, God rest Justin. As you say, he would have been 33 yesterday, he would have spent 34 years on this earth last 2 weeks, so may he rest in peace. Safe in the arms, if you do pray, safe in the arms of Our Lady, Queen of Heaven, and your wife and his mother who are suffering and you suffering so grievously, and his friends, please accept our condolences and thank you so much.
Thank you very much for that, Joe, and I hope other people speak out about it too. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you. Bye.
God bless. Anthony Richardson.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Lucy has contacted us, not her real name, about her son, 17 years of age, who has told her in the last few days that he feels, to use his word, suicidal. She has been feverishly trying to get help over the last 48 to 72 hours and has found it very, very difficult. And she's phoned this programme as a last resort to ask people, is there anyone who's been in the same position and is there anything that can be done, or even to hear people, which she has heard people like Anthony and Brian talking so intelligently and wisely, but also painfully about what they've been through. Jean, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe?
Good, thanks. And how are you, Jean?
The reason I'm ringing, Joe, is to highlight the same as that man previous to me, to highlight the situation. My son, I'm suffering 16 years with my son, and there's no help there. I know Lucy doesn't want to hear this. There's no help there. I knocked on the doors. I've done it. He tried to commit suicide, and my house is in complete lockdown. And I try and I try. They go to the hospitals, and they just talk, and then they let us go again. So there is no help. You know, the HSE needs to put some kind of structure into helping these people.
And what age is your boy?
He's 32.
He's 32. And how long has he been in contact? So he's 16, half his life.
Yes.
And in those 16 years, and thankfully he's still here with us, yes?
Just about, Joe. It's terrible. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, only this week alone, I was down with that doctor, pleading with them to get him somewhere. And all they say, he's not violent enough to put him into hospital. And this is constantly going on, constantly. And I'm wore out, that my husband's wore out, and it's just, there's no help there. And they're putting on the television, putting on advertisements, mental health look after it. They are not putting in the work for these poor people.
And Jean, in the 16 years, has there been any period where you have felt that you got some help or it made a difference to him?
Yeah, with myself and the husband. We're the one that put all the work in.
Yeah.
Because, 3 years ago when he went into the river, I was 11 hours in A&E trying to get him help. 11 hours over 2 days. And no person with mental illness should be in A&E.
You were trying to get him psychiatric help.
Trying
and, yes,
to get
he was
some
obviously
kind of help.
Rescued, thank
yeah.
God. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm still here 16 years later, still knocking on doors, still asking for help. There is no help there. So that Lucy will just have to fight herself and try her best. And she's going to be wore out trying to get help because I've knocked on all the doors, Joe. And the only reason to hide is that there is no help there. The HSE needs to do something for these people. Or the government, I should say. Somebody needs to help them.
And you say that his rock, so to speak, has been yourself and your husband.
Yes.
Okay. And as
Joe, sorry, dear. Could I just say something?
Jean, yes,
yeah.
It's Lucy.
Jean, do you know something? I was just thinking there, Jean, while you were speaking, and I was thinking, if the government won't do something, I know parents, we don't have the funds, but we could certainly maybe try and get something going for our young people, or else we're going to be without them.
Exactly. There's not.
So we have to try.
Do you want 27,000 in St. Pat's? I haven't got 27,000 hospital set in care.
No, but you know, I was thinking, Jean, even there listening to the other two callers and yourself, that look, if it's not there, why can't we do something? Even if it means that parents gather together and maybe bring our young people. I don't know, Jean, this is only off the top of my head. But we can't sit back and let our children die.
No, no, no. But they're going
because
to do at the
die.
End of the day what they want.
OK, Jean, stay on the line for a second. I have Kate there as well. Kate, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe. How is it going?
Good. And your experience, Kate?
I suppose my experience goes by, I would be a mental health activist. I'd be well known. But look, I've been an activist for many years. And I suppose what really spurred me on was the death of my own brother in 2013. And we had tried to get him help. And he was, over the space of 10 days, he was released from hospital twice and told that there was no problem. And then, within 24 hours of the second release, he was dead. But my own son as well suffers with his mental health, and it's been a constant battle to get him help. And at every turn, he was in CAMHS, and you'd bring him for one appointment, and it'd be one doctor, and the next appointment you bring him to, it'd be a different doctor, and he'd have to explain himself all over again. There's no continuity of care within the mental health services.
That's tiring.
Now, I will give you some advice.
Yeah, please.
I'm just going to say it, Joe, because someone has to say it and someone has to put the ball back into the HSE's court. And this is the only way that I ever received help from my son. I've put the ball back into their court and I have said, if anything happens, you're responsible. You're not giving him the help. Now, luckily, down the line, we got help from my son. I'm on my own. I'm wearing my kids on my own and I've got him the help. He's in a good place right now, but I've dealt with an awful lot of people who are not in such a good place and who are could be on the extreme end of the mental health services. One person in particular, I'm not going to mention any names, his son needed an in-service bed because he needed that much care. And he was told by the HSE after a suicide attempt that there was no beds there. So under the Freedom of Information, I asked how many beds at that time were available. And there were 23 vacant beds available at that time that he needed. and he was told there were no beds available for his son.
And Kate, just to focus for a sec, on you say you did get some help at one stage, is that correct?
Yes, I did get help, but it was from either private or voluntary.
Okay.
It wasn't through the HSE.
And you want to tell us, I wouldn't ask about the private, but the voluntary organisation that was of help to you?
The voluntary organisation was an organisation down in North Wexford. Yeah. It's in Gorey. It's called Talk to Tom. Absolutely amazing psychologists.
Wow.
And psychotherapists.
And tell us what they do.
Talk to Tom.
Yeah.
It's an organisation that was set up in 2014 by a man who had lost his nephew to suicide.
Yeah.
This man is Ray Cullen. He actually brings in training into Ireland called QPR.
Hmm.
And it trains people up with suicide prevention skills. Absolutely amazing. He has trained up volunteers with the likes of Marine Watch, Fire Brigades,
right.
Nurses that are in A&E. Countless services he has trained up people in. The same training with the HSE has trained up, I'd say maybe, I can't remember the exact figures, but I know Ray has delivered the services 20 times more than what the HSE have delivered.
And I've seen that, now that you say it, I've seen the office in Gorey. Isn't just outside
yes.
Gorey. Talk to Tom. I thought it was something. Anyway, it's my own. And I half suspect I've spoken to Trudy before. But as you say, and there's a wonderful initiative. By the way, QPR stands for Question, Persuade, and Refer. It's a suicide intervention technique that Tom's CEO Ray Cullen brought into Ireland. Question, persuade, and refer. Now, from what Lucy said right at the start of this programme, it's what Lucy has been doing with her boy. She's talking to him, she's persuading him, and she's referring him as best she can to try and get more professional help. That sounds like a fantastic organisation, Talk to Tom. And
it's fantastic. And only for him and only for that organisation. I don't think I'd have my son with me.
And we should, because they're always fundraising. It's Talk to Tom, it's on the website. But I just want to give a shout out to Kerry Foods in Shillelagh and Carlow or Wicklow, on the border there, such. But they've the workers there have pledged €1 per week from their pay packet to Talk to Tom, which is incredible. That's an incredible
gesture. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay,
fantastic.
Kate, stay with us. More people want to come in after this break. Kate, Jean, and Lucy are still with us. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
51551 is our text number, and probably more importantly today from the discussion, 116123 is the 24/7 phone line for the Samaritans in light of what Lucy is talking about. Lucy, where is your son now? Where is he today?
He went away with a friend this morning.
Okay.
They said that they were going away for a few hours. And I didn't want him to go, Joe, to be honest. And then I said it might be good for him. But I've rang him 5 times since he left and he has not answered his phone.
But he is with his friend.
He is.
And is that a long-standing friend?
No, he only knows this friend in the last maybe year, if not less.
Okay. But he is a good friend.
Did he
call to the house? Did you see him? Did you meet him yourself?
I did.
Have you met him?
Yeah. Yes,
okay.
I did. I met him.
No, don't be over worrying. He's fine. He's with a pal. He didn't ramble off on his own. Kate, I don't want to ask Lucy what part of the country you're in, Lucy, because I don't want to give any. I know we're not using Renator. I just don't want to identify anyone. I wonder, Kate, do we know of Talk to Tom, for example? Is there anything? Is it nationwide, or is there anything similar nationwide? I wonder.
There are similar services nationwide. I do know that he has helped organise a service similar to his own, mm-hmm. Dinner in Kerry.
Okay.
And there are another few areas which he has as well. So it wouldn't be too hard to find out, Joe. I can make a phone call. You're more than welcome to give Lucy my details when we finish. And I'll help her in any way I can, okay. to try and get
Thank
him help.
You.
I have a few contacts from all over. So I'm sure we'll be able to get some help.
Yeah.
From, I'll know somebody somewhere that will be able to get a little bit of help.
That's great, Kate. And Lucy, I can also tell you we have a number of people who want to count qualified counsellors who will talk to you immediately. Immediately after this conversation, we're trying to get in touch with Talk to Tom and get them to give us another insight, because I don't think enough people have heard of them, even though the people who have heard them, like Kate, are so enthralled and supportive of them. Stay with us, Lucy, Kate, and Jean. Jean, by the way, did you in your situation with your son, have you had any moments where you felt that it was making a difference, that the help was making a difference? That's Jean I'm talking to, yeah?
No. The only help that young lad gets is in this house. He goes to the nurses. The nurses came up there after he tried to commit suicide, 6 weeks, and then they just dropped him. And I was left the square one all over again, had to start all over again. Every day is different, Joe.
Yeah.
Every day. I don't know if I'm coming or going with him. I don't know when he goes out the door if he's going to come back again. So I just wish the government will do something to help these people. It's not only the child that's affected, it's the whole family.
I can hear
and
that.
I pity that poor woman if she's only starting out with it. I've 16 years of it and it's not got easier, Joe. It's really not got easier.
Yeah. Now there's more, even in the more communication. Let me bring in Amanda. Amanda, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks, Amanda. What's your experience?
Well, I have Child A, who is on the fourth suicide attempt with that child. Then I have Child B, who is 14 and is on her first suicide attempt. She took 148 tablets that she was storing.
Okay, yeah, everyone said it, yeah.
December, and then she took them in February. So she took an overdose, ended up in a hospital, in ICU for 3 days. Then she was in the high dependency ward then for a couple of days.
Right.
And then she was in the regular ward.
Okay.
But they were trying to get rid of me out of the hospital because there was nothing medically wrong with her.
Yeah.
But there was nowhere actually for her to go then.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I'm not leaving until I get an appointment for CAM. Now, in the meantime, she hadn't been in school for a year and a half. And she had gone to, I had to bring her in private. Now, I'm on my own with 5 children. And I had to scrape up the money. I had to, like, not buy cold food, whatever it was.
Right.
Because it was €60 for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Counseling. But, I mean, then I got into Pieta House and she actually took the overdose while she was attending Pieta House. So not all counsellors, that's what I wanted to say to Lucy, like, you know, all counsellors, your child mightn't be suited to one counsellor.
Yeah, you know, but it's definitely worth trying it. I know it's going to be...
It's definitely worth always, and always go with your good instinct, you know.
Yeah.
And for the next couple of days, Lucy, before you get your child sorted, just think about self-care, which is what we've had to do for months.
Explain that, Amanda.
Self-care is like, for me, because I have mental health issues and I'm on my third attempt. Like mine will be pajamas and, you know, the blankets there are pennies, you know, if you're feeling bad.
Yeah.
Socks. Whatever her child is into, whatever comforts her child.
Yes, lovely.
Give him that
for
the next couple of days to comfort him in a way that because when you're in a depression and you want to kill yourself, it's a form of self harm.
Yeah, I know.
So you're going to beat yourself up about everything. Because
it's such a devious illness.
It's so devious because it stops you eating.
Yeah.
My daughter had half of her hair gone.
Yeah.
She was up for 3 and 4 days at a time. I had to spend every minute of the 19 days in hospital with my child because there was nobody there. There was no residing psychiatrist for adolescents in the hospital. She used to come in at 6 o'clock in the evening to 6:15, and that was it. So any time that Abby or my daughter, sorry, had an episode,
mm-hmm.
I was the one that had to deal with her, and I'm very happy with dealing with her.
Yeah.
But like, I was a year and a half before that without any help at all. A year and a half.
And when you say self-care, Amanda, you mean
Whatever, what would you like?
Yeah, okay, your comfort, staying in bed.
Being good to yourself.
Yeah, being kind to yourself, being gentle on yourself.
Yeah, all of them things are so important when somebody is suicidal. You know, like nutrients for the body as well. Whatever that child wants to eat, if it's McDonald's, if it's Domino's, give the child that.
Yeah.
Just until you get over this hurdle.
And be there.
And little, like choose your battles. If they're going to have a meltdown over something, and it's only something small, just let it slide.
Yeah, absolutely.
Life is just way too short to be dealing with a child that is so, so sick. And like my child A, had a hanging experience, and the way that they treated him in the hospital was atrocious. It was like, yeah, you wanted to take your own life, you know. Like, now he was an adult at this stage, but he got awful time in the hospital, you know. Yeah. And I just feel like sometimes they're like, yeah, they wanted to like kill themselves, you know. You will get some people that are like that, you know, they're very ignorant. And like, I've an autistic son as well, and then my other daughter is suffering with post traumatic stress disorder from what happened to my other daughter.
Yeah.
So now she's attending counselling in the FYDI centre, and you know, it's just, I had to get on literally in like nearly nervous breakdown mode to get an appointment, Joe. Like, it's atrocious, and it's so hard on the souls of mammies.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're doing your best, you're ringing here, you're ringing there, you're trying to get so much things done. There's paperwork, I mean, and then my other son is autistic, and then my other son has involuntary tics, and he suffers with severe anxiety. And I don't get any help at all.
And I'm trying to think if we could even do it a little... Do up a list. I'm thinking of the wonderful organisation founded by Carla McGuigan and her husband Dan, Bob Carley, the suicide or survive. Yeah. A fantastic. I know they do a lot of work, seminars in schools, but another fantastic organisation. I'm thinking of Pieta House. I'm thinking of Talk to Tom. I'm thinking of all the other all the other organisations trying to.
Talk to Tom is who I rang when I'd say about 4 weeks before my daughter took the overdose. And she's been planning this, Joe, since December, and she took it in February. It's not an instant thing.
I know.
With adolescents, you see, you know, with these single car crashes with men.
Yeah, that was mentioned earlier. Yeah.
That's mental illness.
Yeah, well, we don't know. We don't know the ins and outs, but I take your point. In some cases, it might be.
In some cases.
Okay.
You know, but I wouldn't tell Lucy not to be too hard on herself either.
Yeah.
Because you are always, no matter what environment you go into, whether you're going into any counsellors, they might suit her child.
Yeah.
You know, don't take everything to heart.
Keep trying. Yeah.
But don't take everything to heart, because you just have to harden yourself.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of people ignorant, like even when my other child wasn't diagnosed, who's autism, SPD, and dyspraxia. When he wasn't diagnosed, you know, he was just, you know, a wildfire, you know.
Okay. Amanda, kind regards to you and your family. You have a lot of a lot of challenges there, so I really appreciate the fact that you're able to talk and be helpful.
Yeah.
To
we're very open in the house, you see, about it as
Okay, and talk about it.
And talk. Just no matter how hard it is.
Hear.
To hear that your child is feeling that way. It's like I have a tattoo on me. Through all the dark clouds, there's a beautiful blue sky.
Yeah.
You know, and it does end. But when is it going to end? We all want to know when is it going to end? Mm-hmm. But it does end.
Okay. You know. Amanda, kind regards to all your family and
their
suits.
And all the best to Lucy.
Okay,
thank you.
The fact that your family are still with us is great, Amanda. And you have great courage and energy. Stay with us, Lucy, Kate and Jean. 51551 joe@rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And 51551, and we're talking to Lucy, who contacted us about her son has been extremely depressed over the last few days and is talking about self-harm and Lucy's quest to try and get help. And she has been trying feverishly to get help. Lucy, is there anything you've heard so far? This is a hard question for you. But is there anything you've heard so far that offers you any glimmer of hope that one, I hope you've heard that every caller, almost without exception, says you're talking, you're communicating, you seem to be communicating straight. There's no hidden agendas, and the fact that he's saying these things to you, are you hearing that those things are good?
I am, Joe. I'm hearing every one of them, but also, there's something at the back of me, Joe, that's kind of saying, okay, I was thinking about things even there as I was listening, mm-hmm. and there was people there, a man that said that he's their son's relationship with their wife was nearly the same as what I have with Thomas, and he still committed suicide. Now, I was thinking, Joe, as I was there, just in top of my head,
but he
I'm
was
always
now just
something.
He was. This is of no help to Anthony and Justin, who you're talking to. Justin would have been 33 years old. Yes, he would have been spent 34 years on this earth, less 2 weeks. He had been unwell since he's 16. So your boy is only 17. I don't want you worrying. I know you are worrying, I know, but I don't want you going, I don't want you over worrying.
I'll tell you now, Joe, just by listening there to the ladies, they were talking about talk to Tom. And then I was thinking, well, listen, if the government, as I said already, can't do anything for us, then why wouldn't there be something like Talk to Tom or maybe other organisations that maybe would put training in view of the parents, that we'd be able to get some sort of handle on things ourselves and help us to be able to help our children and to be able to cope and put strategies maybe. I don't know, Joe, but it's just something that I'm thinking. We can't hand this problem over to our government or we'll be waiting. We can't hand it over to the mental health. We'll be waiting. But what we can do is we can stand and say, well, we've had enough. Then there has to be something put in place for parents to go and get some sort of handle on maybe how to deal with a situation that comes when your son, like in my situation, has said, Mom, I'm suicidal, rather than me saying, oh, no, don't do that now, Thomas. That would destroy me now. That would destroy the family. Maybe it would help me to be able to cope, or maybe be able to help me to maybe listen a little bit. You know, I don't know, Joe, but I'm just saying that there has to be something that maybe will train the parents.
Yeah, every
that every child then will have his own little little counsellor in a way.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like now, in fairness, that your son has someone very strong. I suspect inside himself, if he's able to talk about these things and say these things to his mum and his family, and from what you're saying, the feedback and the support you're giving him is fantastic, and from what other parents are saying, is extraordinarily extraordinarily worthwhile. Lucy, I don't want to give the exact location, but what province are you in? Are you Munster, Leinster, Ulster?
Munster.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Because I'm very conscious. People listening, I want them to tell us: is there any services in that particular in the Munster area? Let me bring in Nick Callan. Nick, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. Delighted to get on your show.
Okay.
I just listened to your show. I'm in Scotland at the minute, and I was absolutely taken aback by Lucy's courage.
Yeah, incredible.
And the show that I was listening to. And it's something I've always wanted to say on a show like your own, and that is there's another very vulnerable group out there. Somebody made the comment on how deceptive suicide and attempted self-harm can be.
Mm-hmm.
I have anonymised this, I think, haven't I, and so on and here. But I did have a very close relative, who 10 years ago passed away. On the post-mortem and on the certificate said heart attack. But in the run-up to it, I had detected for a long time that there was more to his situation. I'd been to a funeral in Longford where a poor man, a friend, had passed away of suicide. And in the conversation that followed, this very close relative said to me that maybe it was the best thing and stuff like that, alluding to the tragedy in the man's life. This relative had a very difficult life himself, separated, house destroyed, lots of things went wrong. And I knew him to be a terribly optimistic man. And when he passed away in his early 60s, a horse of a man who worked in construction, as I say, even before that, I was concerned and spoke to other people that this wasn't quite right, was told not to interfere, etc., etc., etc. In the aftermath of his passing, I went through Freedom of Information and doctor's records, only to discover that he had been diagnosed with diabetes type 2 and piles of other conditions. He had not taken his medication. He had them all boxed away. And when his house came to clearance, it was all returned to the chemist shop in new order. And it became clear to me he had a view about suicide as a terrible thing. He was a traditional Roman Catholic, which is understandable, and it was a terrible thing. But if you died naturally of a condition that wasn't related to suicide, it was somehow okay. So if you suffered from a difficult condition and you were in that mental state that he was in, and the condition, shall we say, it took your life eventually, that was somehow okay. He was colluding with his own poor diagnosis. So we ended up in a tragic situation where he passed away, only for me to discover all this. I even discovered consultants' reports that came to me and were posted by the consultants from Mullingar post his death. They thought he was still, of course, with us. And in those reports, it said things like, this man didn't found there was nothing wrong with him. He actually said to them, I'm here because my family, my relatives are concerned. And they sent him home. He had ticked a box.
Okay, and you but say...
Do you see what I'm driving at, Joe?
Yeah.
And I've often been nervous about those poor young people. Lucy has got great courage. I know you're running late on your show. I'm delighted she's had the courage. I had some of that courage. I even ran your show before this man passed away. And then at the last minute, never followed through with it.
Okay.
I wish I had.
Okay.
But I did other things. And in post his passing, I've always been staunchly willing to say the truth of it. And that hasn't won me many friends, shall we say, from time to time. But it has helped me an awful lot to come to terms with it.
It's another thing.
I'm saying to Irish audiences out there is there's this very vulnerable group out there who may have other illnesses, and the real reason for their
stop taking them. Okay, Nick Killeen, thanks indeed. Angela, we mentioned Talk to Tom. Angela, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. It's Chalk Tom.
Chalk Tom, sorry. Okay, tell us about Chalk Tom.
Oh, well, we are an organisation in Tikemi. We're set up since 2014, and we provide immediate free support and counselling to anybody who is struggling with their mental health or they have family members that struggle with their mental health. We have up to 100 people every week coming through the doors of Chalk Tom, and we depend completely on fundraising to keep the doors open, as we don't receive state funding at all.
And I mentioned earlier, there's Talk to Tom, which is one group based around Gowrie, and Chalk Tom. Where did your name come from, Angela, while I have you there?
We are connected with Talk to Tom, as in I'm familiar with Ray, and we bounce off each other.
Fantastic.
Chalk Tom comes from my own bereavement suicide of my husband, Tommy Hayes, and my son, Thomas Hayes. And both of them died by suicide. And so now it's, we've set up Choctom.
And I see your website. There's it's such an active organisation. Choctom is TAC.
It is, Joe, you know, and it's hard going for us. We have 15 fantastic counsellors that work in the service.
Well done.
Our doors open. It's very simple what we do, Joe, but it's very effective. And our doors are open at 9:30 in the morning till 5:30, but our counselling appointments go on till probably 9 o'clock at night. They go on at the weekend. And as you know, Joe, mental health isn't a 9 to 5 Monday to Friday problem.
Yeah.
And also we support the whole family. So we treat mental health like an addiction. It's not just affecting the one person that is struggling. It affects the whole family. So with our 15 counsellors, we can support a whole family in crisis.
Okay. Thanks indeed, Angela, from Choctom, and then there's the organisation Talk to Tom, and the other brilliant organisation mentioned was Suicide to Survive, PA to House, Aware, and lots of voluntary organisations, as well as obviously people say when they get through to the health service and manage to get appointments, their experience is generally good. Lucy, it's up to yourself. The minute the program's over, we'll pass you on the numbers. It's up to you to ring them if you wish.
Thank you so much, Joe. I will. You can be sure I will.
And a lot of people are thinking of you, Lucy. A lot of people are praying for you because that's all they can do from a distance.
Thank you. And I would like to thank you, Joe.
Okay, you're very kind, Lucy, and you're so generous, but you're so courageous. And we'll keep in touch. And please God, this weekend will be a good weekend in terms
it will be.
Okay, Lucy, thanks indeed, and to all the other callers,
thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you, mind yourself now, and we'll keep in touch. As I say, we'll talk to you, Laura Lee will talk to you, or Tara will talk to you in a few minutes about all those numbers of professional counsellors who want to communicate with you. Okay, back on Monday, have a good weekend. Tara Lockery-Gant produced, and Ray Darcy is next, and remember, the most important number is not 1857 15 815, after what you've heard today. The most important number, especially at weekends and out of offices, 116 123. That's the Samaritans.